Chapter 1, Winning the Ultimate Job Competition. Have you ever seen those crazy competitions advertised in the back of magazines and wondered who actually wins those things? Like, I just assumed that they were a scam. Certainly nobody I had ever met has won anything bigger than the meat raffle at the local bingo hall. Well, this happened to me. One of those amazing competitions I have won. And I want to share the whole story with you about how I won the ultimate job competition, because it really is a crazy story. And I go through a lot of detail about this story because I want you to look for the secrets in between my actions. It was a classic case of the law of attraction in action, but I've never experienced anything so magical before. So here's the short version. In 2010, my husband and I won a social media competition with a wedding and honeymoon company called Runaway Bride and Groom to travel around the world for free, reviewing the most exclusive wedding and honeymoon destinations all around the world. It was an expenses paid plus we got a salary. Awesome, right? Do you hate me yet? As part of our prize, we traveled to 12 different countries over 6 months, all expenses paid. From tropical islands to sleeping under the stars in the desert, every day was something new. We went from living in our shitty apartment in London to living in luxurious resorts with private butlers and fully stocked complimentary minibars. We experienced literally the trip of a lifetime. And in return, we had to write reviews of each place, write a monthly column for the Irish Times, and make videos. But it was a dream job, and more than 30,000 people applied for it. Let me tell you a little bit about what we did. We started in New York, visiting famous landmarks like the Waldorf Astoria and the Empire State Building. Then we went to Kenya for two wildlife safaris, staying in luxury tents and meeting real-life Maasai warriors, and seeing lions and elephants in the wild. Absolutely incredible. Next, we stayed in an expensive private villa on the sandy white beaches of Mauritius and then Zanzibar. And each night's accommodation was worth the price of about a small secondhand car, like crazy rich people holidays. We reviewed Catholic churches and wedding hotels in sunny Malta, visited posh polo schools in Spain, camped out in the desert in Jordan on a horse and camel tour, as well as a tour of every five-star hotel in Jordan, spent weeks driving around the winding green highways of Ireland, did luxury yoga and detox retreats in Indonesia and Thailand, and finally we topped it all off in beautiful Queensland, Australia, my home country. It was unbelievable experiencing the world like that in pure luxury. And of course, it was hard work being on the road for 6 months, and it wasn't just a relaxing holiday, but it was obviously a small price to pay for an opportunity that not only was a great experience, but one that has changed my life. Most people would have killed for the chance to do something like that. Now, there are a lot of juicy nuggets about how we actually won the competition that I've never shared publicly until now. And it really illustrates how good luck and hard work can combine to attract absolutely anything you want in life. So can I tell you the secrets about how I won it? Because trust me, it has absolutely nothing to do with mere luck. And I love to deconstruct the story to show you exactly what's possible when you put your mind to it. Here's a quote from Serena Williams, which I love. She says, "Luck has got nothing to do with it because I have spent countless hours on the court working for my one moment in time and not knowing when it would come." So, was winning the competition a fluke? 100% no way. I completely and consciously manifested this opportunity to travel around the world into my life. I used the law of attraction techniques I'm going to share with you to attract it and to actually win it. So here's the first lesson. You can manifest opportunities, but you also have to take an extra step with courage to claim them into your life. So I promise I'm going to break it down for you, but first I want to give you a little bit of background. And this is really important. So I've been obsessed with personal development since I was 14, when I walked into this secondhand bookshop and I found this little old-fashioned book called The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. The book explained how you could deliberately create your own reality with your conscious intentions, thoughts, and feelings. And this was mind-blowing news to me. I grew up in a small beach town, raised by a single mum, and surrounded by people who weren't living particularly successful lives. I didn't have any role models stretching me to grow and to be a better person, or to dream a life for myself beyond that town. So at that impressionable age, when I first read about goal setting and the power of positivity, I was hooked, and a seed was planted that would germinate many years later. I was the first person in my family to go to university, and my desire to improve myself was even greater when I moved to the big city of Sydney, Australia, and realized there was so much more to the world than I thought. I joined a student organization called ISEC, which was young people really developing themselves, because I wanted to surround myself with other motivated students. And I spent my waitress money on going to personal development seminars like Tony Robbins's Unleash the Power Within, where you walk on hot coals and you're surrounded by hundreds of people shouting and pumping their fists. And I came out of that seminar extremely fired up, but I had no idea on how to direct that enthusiasm into anything practical. I also read hundreds of motivational books, going through the classics like Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad Poor Dad. These books kept me positive, but they weren't really changing anything for the better in my life. And I got good jobs here and there, but I regularly sabotaged my career, so I never progressed and I didn't earn very much money. I even started businesses and entrepreneurial ventures, but I never made any money of them. Or my enthusiasm wore off kind of quickly. I felt like all the personal development books and seminars weren't really doing me any good in reality. It was really disappointing, and I kind of went through bouts of depression because I thought there must have been something wrong with me. I desperately wanted to prove to the world that I was exceptional, despite my humble background, but I was afraid the truth was that I was worse than ordinary. Mediocre. When I first watched the movie The Secret, it really fired me up and it renewed my passion to change my life for the better. I set an intention to find a mentor who could help me, and I very quickly found Karen Nola, who is a fantastic raw food and business coach in the UK. So you know that quote, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear? Well, Karen came into my life when I was sick of my failed entrepreneurial efforts, and I literally said to the universe, I'm ready for the next step. And see how powerful that small affirmation is? Karen was offering a business course that seemed perfect, exactly what I asked the universe for, and I knew straight away that I wanted to work with her. So let me ask you a question. Have you specifically told the universe that you're ready? Like literally told the universe, I'm ready for the next step. Do that affirmation again as we sit here. Put your hand on your heart and say, I'm ready for the next step. So after I did that, I heard Karen talk about this program that she was about to do, and I got this tingly feeling all over my body. Something was whispering, yes, do it, do it. And I actually went out and got a bank loan to do her course. I felt absolutely moved to take action, and something happened during that course that completely changed the direction of my life. So do you listen to nudges from the universe and then act on them? Because I knew as soon as I saw that course, it was going to be something big, and I just had to do whatever it took to get on that course. So on the first day, Karen asked us to do a very simple exercise. She asked us to write down our version of our own ideal day. I'd never done this exercise before, even though I had heard about it, but it literally set off a chain of events that led me to where I am today. If you do nothing else from this book, write down your ideal day in the most vivid detail you can imagine, because it will change your life. I really laid my heart open during that exercise, and I described a day so unlike my actual reality that I almost cried when I read it. Here's a bit of a summary of what I wrote. Mark, who's my husband, Mark and I wake up in a beautiful bed with crisp linen sheets and an expensive mattress. The sun streams in the window and we can see and hear the ocean from our room. We go for a walk and swim together before we do yoga on our deck. We eat a fresh, luxurious breakfast and then we go out exploring, or we can read on the beach all day if we want to. We have all the money we need to do the things we want to do. We work from our laptops throughout the day and I work on my writing, but our time is our own and there's very little stress. Every afternoon, we eat a gorgeous healthy dinner together before watching the sun go down. Life is warm, sunny, relaxing and abundant. We're both doing what we love and life is just getting better every day. When I read it out loud to that group, it sounded ridiculous and incredibly unrealistic. I mean, who lives like that? Especially what my reality was, right? But Karen, you know, being such an open-minded and fantastic coach, and she's a great manifester herself, she was just really encouraging, saying that's what you want. So I loved doing that exercise. But when I left the seminar, I went back to my quote-unquote reality. I had an office job that I didn't love, and getting up to do my commute each day was a total drag. I was unhealthy and not only 20 pounds overweight, but I was tired all the time. I was getting increasingly depressed about the crappy weather in London, and my financial situation was quite frankly shit. Mark and I were engaged and all our relationship, it was wonderful. I couldn't say the rest of my life was a roaring success, despite all of the books I'd read. On the outside, I probably looked like I was a very positive person, but on the inside, I often felt like a total loser. But I reread that ideal day over and over again, and it made me feel better. So here's your action. Do it now. Write down your ideal day. Do it now. Don't just think, I've heard that exercise before, and you know, you nod and go, yeah, I know about writing down your ideal day. Actually do it. So a few months after that seminar, Mark and I, we got married and our honeymoon was exactly like I described in my perfect day. We got up with the sun shining, we did yoga together, we explored new places all day long. We read piles of books and we ate fresh, exotic food. And it was three of the most beautiful and relaxing weeks of my life, traveling around Singapore, Indonesia, and Australia. I kept that ideal day vision in my head as we planned every detail of our honeymoon and imagined what it would be like to come true. And living that life, even just for 3 weeks, was enough for me to believe that my day-to-day reality could be wonderful, and I was determined to experience even more of it. On a tiny island in Indonesia, we stayed in this rustic cabin that was built right into the ocean on stilts. It was just one bathroom and one bedroom, but after the greyness of our life in London, it felt as relaxing as a 5-star hotel to us. One evening, it was beautifully balmy, as it can be in Asia, and we could see millions of stars above us. And you just didn't see stars like that in London due to the pollution. And I stood on our deck, facing the dark ocean, almost in tears at this amazing experience we were having. And I said aloud, "Universe, I want more of this in my life. This is what I want. Please show me a way I can create this for my life every day, and I'm ready for more." I stood on my tiptoes with my arms outstretched to the universe, and then I put my hands on my heart and I imagined roots growing out of the bottom of my feet to anchor that experience deep into the earth. I wanted to remember that feeling forever, and I wanted to come back to it when I needed to, especially when we went back to our cold life in London. So here's a lesson. Anchor every positive experience you have to attract more. Just anchor it in. Take a little moment to think about it and say, "Universe, this is what I want even more." So we had an incredible honeymoon and we lived my ideal day for 3 weeks straight. Oh, but eventually it ended and we had to go back to London. And I was dreading going back to that reality. But after experiencing what was possible, I knew I had to focus on what I wanted and not what I didn't want. What I wanted was travel. So I started telling everybody who would listen that Mark and I were going traveling again. I just kind of repeated it as if it was a fact. "Hey, we're going traveling for 6 months next year. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be amazing." And our friends would say, "Oh, where are you going to? Or how can you afford that?" And I would just say, "Oh, I don't know yet. We're still planning it. We'll figure it out." And of course, that's exactly what we did. We figured it out. So that's your next lesson. is confidently talk about your dreams as if it's already a reality. For the next 6 months, I remembered that feeling of standing on that beautiful wooden veranda in Indonesia under that gorgeous night sky and knowing it was going to happen again. Every day on my commute, when I was standing under an umbrella in the rain or eating lunch on my lunch break, I mentally went back there using that anchor that I had created, and I re-experienced that evening through my imagination. I literally felt the warm breeze on my skin, even though I was in reality freezing my butt off. I felt the anticipation of doing something adventurous that day after eating exotic fruit for breakfast, even though in reality, my body was at work eating microwave soup, and I focused every cell in my body on what I wanted. My brain started thinking of ways I could make this possible. You know, maybe I could write an ebook or start an online business and earn enough to take 6 months off work. Maybe we could travel to conferences if I did some speaking or helping out. But I set a very specific goal and I wrote it on my wall. I wanted 6 months travel with Mark. I wanted to stay at places for free somehow. I didn't know how. And I wanted £3,000 a month spending money. And I thought that's just what we'd need to go traveling and backpacking around Asia. So here's your action. Write down your goals as specifically as possible. Do it now. I knew I could figure out how to do it somehow. Those words on my wall kept me sane because I couldn't live trapped and miserable anymore. I was desperate for freedom and adventure, and instead of feeling trapped, I tried to put all of my feelings into that vision of Indonesia, experiencing it over and over again. And remember, your brain can't tell the difference between reality and a memory or imagination. So I had a few business ideas in my head, but I wasn't that attached to anything in particular. All I could think about was actually just going traveling. Remembering the warm breeze on my skin and seeing the beautiful stars. And that kept me going through that cold London winter. Two very, very interesting things happened next. Two of my close friends got made redundant from their jobs. And seriously, when you're made redundant in your 20s from a job that you hate, it's not sad, it's freaking awesome. One of my friends got a 6 month payout and the other one got 18 months. Tax-free salary. Oh my God, when I heard the news, I was completely insane with jealousy. I hated going to work every day. And suddenly, not only my friends were being liberated from their corporate jobs, but they both could afford to go traveling. It seemed so unfair. If I had been made redundant, I would have packed up my stuff in 10 minutes flat, booked my trip, and probably started a business as well. So I was really bitter about it because I thought, that's my dream. So I asked myself, why can't someone pay me to go off and decide what I want to do with my life? Where was my lucky break, motherfucker? I knew this resentment wasn't going to get me anywhere. So I decided to acknowledge it. And my new affirmation became, good things are happening for me too. My lucky break is just around the corner. It made me feel marginally better. You know what? It is natural to compare ourselves with others, but I just decided to wish my friends the best and feel happy for them because I knew that I deserved good things too. And my lucky break, it was just around the corner. In the new year, I got a text from my friend Christina with one sentence that completely changed my life. It said, Denise, I found your perfect job. And it was a link to the travel competition website run by Runaway Bride and Groom. And honestly, the second I saw it, I knew that it was divinely guided. I never saw or heard about that competition anywhere else. Just that one shot. Somehow, fate intervened and got my attention. And I think I still owe my friend Christina a cocktail for that. And here's what the website said. It said, wanted. Honeymoon guinea pigs for the ultimate job in the world. One lucky couple will travel to some of Runaway Bride and Groom's fantastic destination wedding and honeymoon locations all around the globe, testing out hammocks for their relaxation qualities, champagne for its bubbles, and honeymoon suites and locations for their romantic allure, apply here. In the fine print, it said, 6 months, all expenses paid travel around the world for two people. And the gig was just writing reviews. And you know what the salary was? You know what I'm going to say, right? It was £3,000 per month. And I'm not even kidding. Exactly what I asked the universe for. And exactly like the wording on my wall. The second I looked at the website, I said to myself, this is exactly how we're going to go traveling. I just knew it from day one. There was no doubt in my mind. From that second, nobody else on the entire planet had a chance of winning that competition. And remember, if I hadn't told everybody I knew about my goal of traveling around the world with Mark, chances are I wouldn't have found out about the competition at all. Christina never would have thought about me when she saw that website. The opportunity may have passed me by completely. How many chances are you missing by keeping your goals to yourself? And that's a big lesson. It's tell your positive friends about your wildest dreams. So Mark come home and here's me babbling incoherently about this competition and I flat out told him we were going to win it. Seriously, dude, that's how we're going traveling. It's a done deal. And this insanely awesome husband of mine, he saw the determination in my eyes and bless his heart, he responded with, okay, let's do it. He'd played along with my goal setting and all this talk of traveling for months. And now he got swept up with my enthusiasm and utter conviction. And he didn't say, oh, that's ridiculous. Why would we win it? We put together an application video immediately, but I promise you, we almost got divorced doing it. It was a complete disaster. Luckily, the judges never saw the behind the scenes of it. We wouldn't have won, probably. All we had to do was make an 80-second video about why we were the best couple to win this competition. Sounds simple, right? But you know what? We couldn't agree on a script and I would yell at him because he wasn't getting it right and he would yell back at me. We got dressed up in fancy clothes and we didn't have a camera, so we filmed it on my old Nokia phone. And Mark had to learn video editing from scratch with me criticizing it over his shoulder. And you know what? If you looked at it today, it's a terrible video entry. But we kind of looked friendly and we showed a bunch of pictures from our own honeymoon. You'd never guess that in between takes we were yelling at each other and we were barely talking by the end of the night. We almost gave up several times because it just seemed too hard. And that's the tragedy. So many people would have seen that exact opportunity that we did and not put in an application because they found it frustrating or technically difficult and thought, oh, well, so many people are going to apply. Why would we win anyway? There's no point doing this. They might have given up at that first hurdle, which we, to be honest, we almost did. And I wonder how many half-finished videos are out there. But it was just a little test from the universe. We got through that night barely on speaking terms, but we got our video in, and many didn't. We now know that more than 2 million people a day visited that competition website, but in the end, only 30,000 people entered, and a surprising amount of those people didn't read the instructions properly, so their entries were ineligible anyway, because their video went over time or they missed something off the written entry. This opportunity was so important to me, you bet that I read every single detail of the criteria. So there's another lesson. Is be persistent through hurdles because there's less competition than you think. The judges even extended the deadline by a week because the competition started attracting media attention from all around the world. Thousands of entries came in just this close to the new deadline and many missed it by minutes. Too bad, right? So I learned this one important lesson purely by accident. Be one of the first to apply. Because we hit the original deadline, our entry was number 183. By a complete fluke, and for the first time in my life, I actually handed in something early. I've always been a last-minute girl, and I totally could have missed the deadline too if I'd had that last-minute panic. Remember that people like competition judges and potential employers, they're just people too. Behind the competition was three creative, multi-talented entrepreneurs from Ireland, Rosemary Melidi, Gillian Godsill and Zara Stassen, each with experience in travel, PR and wedding planning. Superwomen all, but still with only 24 hours in the day. For the first couple of hundred videos, it was exciting for them and they watched their favourites several times. But soon they were being interviewed about the competition on TV and radio stations all around the world, and the interest in the competition blew up. In the last hour of the new deadline, there were thousands of entries coming in every minute, and they enlisted their entire staff to watch videos non-stop for days. So here's my biggest advice for you. If you're ever applying for a competition like Survivor or The Amazing Race, anything like that, be one of the first to apply. Because it's a universal truth that most people wait for the last minute. If you make a memorable video and then get in front of the judges while they still have functioning eyeballs, I mean, this is the same principle if you're applying for an award, writing competition, or dream job. The action is find the deadline for the important goal and put it in your calendar now and do it early. From the moment we sent the video in to the judges, in our minds, we had already won. We were going traveling. Yay! But of course, there was more to it than that. We didn't just put in our application video and get chosen out of a hat. Like, how did we actually do it? You know what? Once we put in our application, we did absolutely everything we could think of. Every technique I've ever read in a personal development book, we put into practice. And I don't want to leave anything to chance. So I think the biggest secret behind winning the competition is we kept our eye on the prize. We never, ever, ever gave up believing that it was a gift from the universe. We knew that this opportunity was ours and we didn't let any doubt or fear sabotage us, but nor were we overly attached to it to the point of desperation. I thought it was an amazing opportunity that came into my life for a reason and I was going to go for it with everything I had. But it was the traveling I wanted and what I focused on. And this is a crucial point in successful manifesting. One of the most popular articles on my website is Can You Win the Lottery Using the Law of Attraction? And I was frankly getting sick of emails from people telling me that that was their biggest goal, winning the lottery. And I'm going to be really honest here. I think it's a huge mistake to focus all your attention on something as arbitrary as winning the lottery. And you could block other ways that the universe can bring you the abundance and lifestyle you want. Winning the lottery isn't the only way. So if you're thinking, but Denise, one of my goals is to win the lottery. Well, I'm going to challenge you to focus on what you would do with the money. Is it because you want to have a huge mansion, beach house? Is it because you want to go traveling around the world? Is it because you want to give money away to charities? Well, focus on that, not how it's going to come to you. I'm serious. Winning the lottery isn't a goal. What you want to achieve with it, that's your goal. So I never could have imagined that I would win a competition against 30,000 other people. And that's how I would manifest my around the world travel dreams. It might have come in another way entirely. The universe is infinitely more creative than we are. So pay attention to all these little things that I did to win the competition, because there are many practical and metaphysical actions that kept my vibrations high and focused on the outcome. I actually started recording these actions and tips when we were about halfway through the actual trip because I knew they would make a fabulous book and I wanted to share what I knew with as many women as possible. So I couldn't sleep one night where we were staying at a retreat in Bali on the trip, and after tossing and turning for hours, I got up in the middle of the night and took my diary into the bathroom and I wrote down every little thing that formed the basis of Lucky Bitch, because this stuff works and it's going to be so easy for you to manifest your wildest dreams too. So one tip is to visualize your success. My biggest lucky bitch tip is to use the power. My biggest lucky bitch tip is to use the power of your unconscious mind through creative visualization. You've probably heard this a million times before, but do you commit to doing it daily? It really is so powerful, and you're only limited by creative imagination. You really have to watch your thoughts constantly because negative visualization, it works just as powerfully as a positive one. Without meaning to, we can often imagine the worst happening, especially if you're a creative person, right? So use that power you have for good, not evil. Once we had our application video in for the competition, we spent hours each day visualizing ourselves, traveling through airports, on the plane, looking out of the window and just feeling really excited about the next adventure. In my mind, I was already on a hammock with a cocktail in hand. And this vision, it was comically at odds with my present reality. I was living in a shitty flat with mismatched wallpaper in every room, and I was commuting every day through the grey London winter. Well, London's grey even in summer, but it took every ounce of my imagination to overcome the dissatisfaction I felt with my life. Mark and I had a shared visualization where we actually won the competition, rehearsing that moment when they called our names. Our anchor words to each other was Mark and Denise. Mark and Denise. All day long, we texted each other words of encouragement. When we came home from work, we greeted each other with Mark and Denise, Mark and Denise. We visualized ourselves telling people about winning, saying, oh my God, you're never going to guess what happened. We won the competition. Before we went to sleep at night, we spoke about how awesome the trip would be. Waking up with the sun streaming through our bedroom, doing early morning yoga, and recreating our wonderful honeymoon together. I'd go to sleep dreaming of it all coming true. It was the last thing I thought of at night and the very first thing each morning. And I have to say, I probably wasn't the best employee at this time because all I could think about was traveling. I was obsessed. So get really honest with yourself. Are you absolutely obsessed every waking moment with your dreams coming true? Are your thoughts and dreams just consumed with it? And you know what? You don't have to do it forever. I don't keep up that level of obsession every single day. Some goals are more important and urgent than others, but if you want to move fast to manifest what you want, make it a priority to visualize all day long. So here's a quote from Robert Collier. He says, visualize this thing that you want, see it, feel it, believe in it. Make your mental blueprint and begin to build. Now, feel it to believe it. Every single law of attraction book I've ever read tells you that thinking isn't enough. You have to actually feel it. You have to get into that space of living it before it actually shows up in the real world. Every cell of your being has to be convinced. And you have to fake it at first, despite evidence to the contrary. It will make a huge improvement to your manifesting ability because the universe gives you more of what you already are. So feel rich and abundant and you'll believe that it's possible. So when the opportunity shows up, you'll be more inclined to act in the way that a rich and abundant person would. And I understand, of course it can be hard in reality, but I have a little trick. It just kind of works a charm to excite your body into the prospect of your dreams coming true. So you know that little flutter of excitement you get in your tummy when something awesome is happening? It's almost that same feeling as fear or when you're in love, like it's the same kind of feeling. Well, you can fake that and your body doesn't know the difference. Just try it now. Feel that twinge of excitement deep in your belly, even if you feel like you're just flexing your tummy muscles. It also activates your sacral chakra, and this governs your feelings and sexuality. The ability to receive pleasure and enjoy your life. I knew that I had to increase my capacity for pleasure in order to receive this massive opportunity and believe that I deserved it. Activating the twinge of excitement and anticipation in my belly, it helped me believe it was possible. My physical body was actually sitting at my desk or on the train looking at the grey London sky, but in my imagination, I was miles away, lying on a beach with the sun on my body, and I allowed myself to get excited about it. I consciously manipulated my emotions to pretend it had already happened. I got myself into that space every single day. And did it make a difference? You bet it did. So how would it feel to achieve your biggest goal? Would it feel exciting, loving, relaxing? How would you feel if you knew it was a done deal. Practice that now, no matter how unrealistic it seems. Let's turbocharge your affirmations. There's a great guy called Noah St. John, and he wrote a fantastic book called The Little Book of Affirmations. Now, that's not a typo. It introduces affirmations in the form of a question, hence affirmations. So instead of the usual affirmations like, I am happy and healthy, they are changed to, why am I so happy and healthy? And there's just a different energy around affirmations because you're activating that part of your brain that likes to solve problems. So I wrote mine out regularly, like, why am I so lucky? Why am I about to go off on a great adventure? Try it out and feel the different energy about putting that question mark on it. Next, why do you really want it? So a key shift for me was having a greater purpose for winning the competition. I actually never thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a free holiday? Instead, and listen to the energy around this, I was thinking, this is going to change my life. I'm going to tell so many people about how I won it using the law of attraction, and it's going to change their lives as well. This is going to have a ripple effect throughout the universe. I had a big reason behind it that was greater than me. It was hugely emotional, and the highly charged emotions tell the universe that you're serious. I remember one day standing at the train station in my winter coat and rehearsing the speech I would give at conferences after we won the competition. It took my mind off the cold and it sent these little tentacles out into the universe, pulling my future towards me. I knew that winning the competition was aligned to a greater purpose, way beyond the thrill of the 6-month travel assignment. I had asked the universe for business ideas and book ideas before we even started talking about traveling, so I imagined that the universe had big plans for me. I knew that it was an amazing opportunity, which I could leverage for the rest of my life. It was proof of the concepts I'd been talking about for so many years. I daydreamed about launching my career as an author, a speaker, and an entrepreneur. I was so certain I was going to win it that I was practicing the speech. I was so certain that I was going to win that I was practicing the speech about how I manifested it before I had even won it. I knew that I was going to write this very book that you're listening to before we even won it. So do you get what I'm saying? The pure self-belief you need to manifest your desires into the real world. That's what you need. It almost has to border on self-delusion. So I told all my friends, we're going to win it. We're going to win this competition. When we got into the top 50, and I said, I think we're going to win it. And then I've just got this feeling that we're going to win it. And I repeated this so often that my friends started to believe me. They believed me too, which increased my belief even more. It's infectious. Here's a great quote from Walt Disney. He said, when you believe in a thing, believe in it all the way, implicitly and unquestionably. So I promise you some extremely practical tips, and there's something that you can do straight away. So get out your diary. As soon as I found out about the competition, I scheduled it in my calendar. I blocked out the entire 6 months and I put in there traveling on the ultimate job. It made it real. Now, this is a very important practical and metaphysical technique. If it's something that you really want to go to, a conference, a holiday, or whatever, schedule it. Because energetically, you're making space and you're telling the universe you're ready. So I was asked, Denise, are you going to that conference or whatever next year? Or someone would invite me to go on holidays or to do something with them. And I'd say, actually, we're going to be traveling then. So no, I'm really sorry. I can't. I was being honest because I knew I was going traveling no matter what. And I was serious about it. But on a practical note, it made me declutter my schedule so I could actually go on the trip should we win it. I saw as soon as I scheduled it that we were going to have to miss a friend's wedding, and I accepted that. I also got used to the idea that we'd be away for our first anniversary and my birthday. No distractions and no energetic blockages to moving forward. So is there anything holding you back? Are you really, really ready? So do it. Make that energetic space and put something in your calendar now that you really want to go to. Doing that, it also made me look at other practical considerations. So for example, we'd have to rent out our apartment, find a new home for our cats, and budget really carefully to make sure we could still pay for our credit card bills while we were away on the trip. So the first thing I always teach people is to declutter your life of distractions in every single way, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Who knows? I could have blocked the entire opportunity because I had these unconscious worries. The universe doesn't want to create unnecessary stress for you. So in the meantime, the judges were selecting 50 couples out of the 30,000 entrants to go into the next round. And the morning that they were announcing it, I actually had a dream that we were in the top 50. That's how obsessed I was getting. So we woke up and checked, and it didn't come to any surprise to either of us that we saw that we had made it into the top 50. We both had just felt so aligned to the opportunity, and all we had to do was get into the right space to receive it. But what else could we do to show the universe that we were really serious? You know what? Every single bloody manifestation technique I could think of. I made an ultimate job dream board with all the pictures of places I wanted to visit. I made it my desktop on my computer, both at home and at work, so every time I turned on my computer, I saw it. Dream boards are a very powerful anchor towards your dreams, and I really recommend that you use Picasa to make a gorgeous collage just at the click of a button. And I've got an instruction video for you at the bonus site, which is luckybitchbonus.com. Dream boards work, so do one as quickly as possible. I also changed my work password on my work computer to my ultimate job winner because I had to type that out at least 10 times a day. And every time I did, every time I put in my password, it gave me a little jolt and a reminder to affirm to myself, yes, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win it. Do that now. It is such a simple action. It will just take you a couple of minutes to change your password, but it will create magic. I changed Mark's name in my mobile phone to Mark Ultimate Job Buddy. So every time he called me, every time he texted me, I'd be reminded to affirm again. Yes, this is going to happen. See how powerful those practical actions are? They become anchors. Because every time you remind yourself of your goals, you will get to that powerful place of feeling the win. Every time you type, draw, visualize, doodle, think and feel it constantly. Because I did these little rituals, I didn't have time to let doubt or fear enter my thoughts. I had many, many reminders about what it would feel like to go traveling. Okay, that is a small lie. Occasionally, there was a small voice that said, but what if you don't win? And I'm serious, I told that voice to fuck off. I actually went, fuck off, because I wanted to break the association really quickly and I would shake myself physically to get rid of it. You put a little elastic band on your wrist just to go, nope, getting rid of that. So you have to get obsessed. Every waking moment and every little anchor, it helps. It all helps. So do you remember that ideal day exercise? I used my journal every day to write this again, but with more specific details about the ultimate job and about the trip and winning it. I also wrote down little things like, I am the ultimate job winner. I won the ultimate job. How exciting that I won this ultimate job. It was just a process of constant reinforcement. Now, I don't want you to think that all we did was visualize and write a few words down in my journal. It wasn't purely metaphysical. But the excitement behind that dream, it gave us the courage to take action in the real world. I believed it was possible and inevitable, so I acted accordingly. Now, you know this, right? Nothing is really ever going to happen if you just sit around and wish for it. You know that. And the personal development industry often does people a great disservice by pretending that it's easy because it takes time and commitment. We knew that it wasn't enough to just dream. We had to get far out of our comfort zones to prove to the judges and the universe that we wanted it. So we cold called newspapers and radio stations to generate our own press and PR. That was scary. we contacted celebrities and got people like Tim Ferriss and gossip blogger Lainey Liu to tweet out support for us. And you may as well ask, you never know who's going to say yes. The ability to generate our own buzz was one of the things that the judges were looking for when we got into the top 50. And my marketing background and social media background, it really paid off. But this time there was more at stake. I did things that I've never, ever had the confidence to do before. I actually cold called an editor who was so bitchy to me on the phone that I squirmed in embarrassment, but I didn't care and I kept going. So that's a big lesson. It's do the work, because most people won't. They won't do it. The next stage of the competition was the selection of 10 couples to go and compete in the final judging in Ireland. We didn't want to take any chances. So leading up to the announcement, we spent a lot of time making extra YouTube videos to make sure that the judges knew who we were. We just knew we were going to be there at the final. And spoiler alert, we were. We were there. Otherwise it'd be a crappy story. When the judges called us to tell us personally we made it into the top 10, we were just so thrilled to see that we were getting closer and closer to our dreams. The universe was just saying, yes, yes, yes. But again, no time to rest. We knew we had to take it one step further. We wanted to make sure that we were the most prepared couple in the final. Destiny is one thing, but being prepared is always as important. When destiny comes knocking, you seriously don't want to be caught slacking in your underwear, do you? So we thought, okay, it's going to be a whole weekend of challenges with 9 other couples. What could they possibly get us to do? We brainstormed everything. We thought they might test us on geography or random facts about Ireland. We researched everything, just as you would for any job interview. We made sure we were prepared and ready. And believe me, we were. We went walking every single morning together before work. And during the walk, we'd actually quiz each other. So if the judges were going to ask us, why do you want to win this competition? Why do you think you're the best couple? Or what are each other's best strengths and weaknesses? We knew it all. We were total geeks, but we wanted it. And we wanted to make sure we were more prepared than anyone else. But not only that, waiting for the results was painful. We needed to stay positive and not psych ourselves out. And you know what? We've heard this before. There is no substitute to being prepared. So what else could stand in our way? We decided to do something quite drastic. One of the potential downsides to winning the competition was having to rent out our apartment. It wasn't a downside necessarily, but it would be a real hassle as there was only going to be 10 days between the job final and the first day of the trip. So being in the top 10 meant we were one step closer. But I didn't want any complications, so I decluttered that problem by putting the apartment up for rent. It paid off, and just before the final weekend, we found 2 girls who wanted to rent it for 6 months. We didn't tell them about the competition. So this is where you might be thinking, Denise, why would you do that when you weren't 100% guaranteed you were going to win? Even though we had no plan B, I knew that I wanted to change my life so badly that I was willing to move anyway, even if we didn't win the competition. I was willing to do what it took to get out of that place because I didn't like it anymore. So there was no risk. There was no downside to taking that massive action, but it was yet another potentially stressful situation off my to-do list, just to be on the safe side. And the weekend before we left for the ultimate job final, we had the 2 girls come over to sign the contract and give us their rental deposit. And I just said to them, look, we're going away for the weekend, so I'm not going to bank this deposit until we get back on Monday. But in the meantime, the house is yours and here's the contract. I just knew regardless we were going to move. Regardless. So are you really, really serious about your goals? You've got to take those scary actions. So we took another scary move and we both told our bosses at work as soon as we made it into the final. And we had very, very mixed reactions to the news. Mark's boss said, wow, cool, great opportunity. Of course you have to go for it. And I don't think his employers quite believed he was going to win, so it wasn't a big deal for them. But my boss was not at all supportive, and it created a really stressful situation. But I had to be single-minded. And not everyone is going to be very supportive of your dreams. And you might get some backlash. And here's my advice. Fuck them. It was an emotional time for us, and so it was really important just to keep our eye on the prize as much as possible. Hence all of those little anchors that I've mentioned to you, those little actions. I even wore my lucky necklace every day, and it's this pretty silver medallion with the word yes on it, and I'm wearing it right now as I'm talking to you. And it was just another reminder that yes, I go for opportunities, and yes, this job is going to be mine. Every time I felt unsure about my decisions, I looked at my necklace and smiled. Do you see how important it is to surround yourself with that constant positivity? Nothing is too small or unimportant. Every single activity you take compounds, and who knows which action is going to make the ultimate difference. Just throw everything at it, no matter how wacky or woo-woo it sounds. In the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, it talks about alternate universes and the theory that every possibility exists simultaneously at any one time. If you've seen the movie Sliding Doors, it has the same kind of theme. There could be different versions of you that choose different things in life. So somewhere out there is a version of you who decided to become a professional dancer, a rock star, an activist, etc. And there are so many different ways that your life could have turned out. And quantum physics and quantum mechanics say that actually all of those things, all of those realities exist somewhere out there in a parallel universe, all at the same time, which is kind of wacky and crazy. However, I decided to use that theory to really fire up my creative imagination and make my dreams even more attractive to the universe. I thought, somewhere in the universe, I have won this competition. It is inevitable that I have won it. It may be a remote probability, but in one particular universe, it has already happened. So all I have to do is find that universe and consciously jump into it. Remember in Mary Poppins, how Mary Poppins jumps into the chalk drawing on the sidewalk and then she goes into a completely different reality. Well, that's what I wanted to do. Remember, it might sound wacky, throw everything at it. Everything's going to help. So I share this idea with Mark, and I am just so happy that he's open-minded. Can you imagine how wacky it sounds? Like on our morning walk, I'd say to him, Mark, there is a universe where we have already won this competition. It is a mathematical certainty. So let's find it. And then we would hold hands and pretend to jump into it together. It sounds totally crazy, but these daily rituals made me feel even more certain that we were going to win the competition. The certainty helped me make those decisions in the real world, like telling my boss that I was quitting my job, making those calls that I needed to make, and mentally preparing myself for what was to come. So if you're willing to be a little bit freaky, it might get you closer to your dreams. All right, the final job interview. After some hiccups when the Icelandic ash volcano cancelled flights all around Europe, we almost didn't make it, but we were prepared to swim to Ireland if we had to. So we arrived in a town called Kinsale, a gorgeous seaside town in Ireland, and we planned out our strategy for the final weekend. We went to the tourism office and got a map to familiarise ourselves with the town. So you remember that cheesy prior planning prevents piss poor performance? PPPPP. That was our motto. So first, our competition. There were 9 other couples to beat. 1 couple had come from the US, 1 from Canada, 2 different couples coming from the UK, 5 couples were Irish, and 1 couple was a South African / Brazilian couple who lived in Ireland as well. Here's the thing. We didn't watch any of our competitors' videos, and I didn't learn much about them before the weekend. Now that might sound arrogant, but I actually didn't want to psych myself out. I knew that the only real competition would be allowing doubt, fear, or anxiety to creep in. So we had people coming up to us and saying, oh, you're Mark and Denise. Oh, I love your videos. And I'd be thinking, I don't know who you are. I just wanted to focus completely on us and make sure that we were speaking to the judges the most. So there's another lesson. There is no competition. Never. You can only be yourself. So the final was played out like The Amazing Race, but luckily without the reality TV cameras following us around. The first task, 8 secret dinner reservations in the town and 10 couples. The 2 couples who didn't find a restaurant had to go to the fish and chip shop for dinner, and everyone else got free dinner and had to produce a written review by the next morning. So it was kind of a competition slash test. So Mark and I started before the bus came. We got our map from the tourism board and we got on Google Maps and we looked at every restaurant in that town and marked them on our map. Then we jumped on the bus into town, psyching ourselves up the whole way. You know what? I know for a fact that not every couple did this. Some couples hung around, some had a drink, refreshed their makeup and got ready for the night out. We didn't. We prepared because we knew that however lighthearted the tasks were, it was game on. And the Duffield Thomases were here to win. No excuses. Play hard or go home. So what happened that weekend is actually the perfect example of the lucky bitch philosophy. There is always unseen preparation and planning behind almost every outrageous success. We might have seemed like we had many lucky breaks, but nobody prepared more than we did. And that's why we won. And that's a huge lesson. It's always do everything you can think of to guarantee your success. Never just rest on your laurels. We got into town and we were given our clues. And it must have been hilarious for these Irish locals seeing 10 couples literally running through their small town. You know what? Mark and I both had running shoes on, but some people had high heels on because they were going out for dinner. We easily found one of the hidden restaurants using our map and ticked it off as a success. No luck, just preparation and teamwork. There was a similar treasure hunt challenge the next day to find a hidden radio crew, and the first couple that made it to the judge got a live interview on radio. So Mark and I knew that that would be an awesome way to promote ourselves and also to show what we could do. So we made sure we had our map handy and we worked together as a team and we were the first couple there. So we knew we were starting to make an impression when the second couple turned up and went, "Ugh, the Duffield Thomases." The biggest challenge for us was actually to make 2 videos during the weekend. One was a promotional video about the town and the other one was about the ultimate job. So we had actually started working on it already. We knew that that would be one of the things that we had to do, so we didn't have to start from scratch. But this, in hindsight, was quite a smart thing to do because making those videos was stressful, yet another potential divorce moment. We had to have incredible teamwork that weekend, taking it turns, speaking on the video and editing until 4 in the morning. And some of the other couples just went out drinking. It was really stressful, but we didn't want to make it that far and then lose on a technicality, like not getting an assignment in on time. And we also wanted to make sure that the judges saw us as reliable people, willing to go that extra mile and cheerful, ready to undertake the next challenge in front of us. So we always made sure we were on time for every single meetup, lunch and challenge. And we always, always, always had a smile on our faces. That's another lesson, right? It's read the instructions and just do the frigging work. Like just make sure you show up and do it to the best of your ability. This is not a law of attraction technique. This is a life thing. You know, if you've read the classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, it breaks down those interpersonal skills that make people want to help you. And tiny tweaks in your personality can just make you seem like a lucky person. Being agreeable, pleasant, nice, approachable, it was important to us because we wanted the judges to see that we would represent their brand and their competition. The final thing in our favor was the final job interview with a panel of 4 judges. And Mark and I, we had rehearsed so much that we knew who was going to say what. We had little signals to each other about how we were going to answer difficult questions. So if there was a tough question for me, like geography, I could just kind of hand it over to Mark. And that is a cheesy lesson, right? But it's teamwork makes the dream work. And wearing my yes necklace, we went in there and we just told the judges we knew how important the competition was to their brand and we wanted to be a part of their team. So straight up, we pitched them on the Duffield Thomases. We didn't want to be arrogant or overwhelm them with our preparation, but our focus was to make sure the judges knew how much we wanted it and that we were up for it. We even went in with some creative ideas, like we would get married in every country and we could maybe break a Guinness World Record for the most amount of weddings. Things like that definitely got their attention, but basically we went balls out on convincing that we were the people for the job without being annoying about it. So that's another lesson. Conviction is contagious. After 3 days of busting our butts on crazy challenges, it was time for the results. We were exhausted and frazzled, but we needed to pull together our last dregs of self-belief. So the moment was here. We got all dressed up, tuxes and evening dresses, and they lined all the couples up on a stage. As we sat there waiting for the result, Mark and I whispered to each other, "Mark and Denise, Mark and Denise, Mark and Denise," our anchor for the last 3 months that we had used. Seconds before they announced the winners, I leaned over to Mark and I said to him, "You thank the judges, I'll thank the venue." We never once considered that we wouldn't be called as the winners. That's a big lesson. Keep your belief right up until the last second. Who knows what the other couples were thinking at that moment? They might have been stressing about their jobs and what they were going to do with their apartments or pets, worrying about telling their bosses, worrying about their credit cards, anything. We were energetically ready. There were no emotional obstacles in our way to receiving it. And I was squeezing Mark's hand as I imagined one last jump into that magical chalk drawing. And sure enough, they announced the winners, saying, wait for it, Mark and Denise. Mark and I, we just looked at each other with excitement, but very little surprise. We were already there mentally and emotionally. We were literally ready to go. Like, we were ready. Our house was being decluttered. We had tenants to move in. Our bosses were prepared to hear the news. Nothing was standing in our way. The universe had just caught up with us. So if you've read any Abraham Hicks books, they talk about the unmet desires that you hold being held in vibrational escrow. What you want is just being held somewhere for you, just waiting for that opportunity where it's just given to you. We already felt like travel was in vibrational escrow. It just happened to come from this particular opportunity. The universe was paying up. We were thrilled and excited, and our friends were equally ecstatic for us. However, in the time for it took for us to change for the celebration dinner, some people had already started writing negative comments online. They were clearly pissed off that their friends and family hadn't won. And it was our first taste of negative press and being criticized. Not gonna lie, it kind of hurt. The public at large, of course, having wanted their loved ones to win, were not happy with the outcome. So they took their frustration out online, saying really horrible things about us. One, that we were boring and didn't deserve to win, or someone else said that we were cheaters. One person even found out about our apartment and said, well, it was rigged because they obviously knew they were going to win. They saw a little video that we had done advertising our apartment. One of my friends, Angela, actually responded to the online criticism with, nope, not cheating. She was just manifesting it and visualizing it into existence. And that made me laugh so much, because our friends understood what we had achieved, but to the outside world, it just seemed like pure luck. And here's the truth. People will say mean things about you. What you have to realize is it's not really about you. I mean, let's be honest. How many times have you made an online comment about someone like, look how fugly that dress is? Or you have a point of view about a total stranger's marriage. You just do it without thinking that they're a real person. Well, put yourself in that situation. The same thing is going to happen to you. People won't think you're a real person. However, we recognized it for exactly what it was, and it didn't bring down our high at all. We actually laughed about it. Like, we are about to go on an all expenses paid trip all around the world. Lucky bitch. Woohoo! Only two couples out of the nine actually said anything to us after the win. It was an awkward gala dinner with at least seven couples who were so angry and disappointed they could barely see straight. And one or two couples actually made fools of themselves, One couple yelled at one of the judges in the bathroom. Another couple just left the hotel straight away, not even grateful for the experience. You know what? Nobody likes a sore loser. They shot themselves in the foot. You know, what if we got sick and couldn't fulfill our duties? Well, they were never going to be called up, were they? Winning was an inevitable possibility for us because we were in the right universe. But what if we hadn't won? We just would have said, huh, that sucks. I wonder how else we're going to go traveling because this is happening regardless. Some couples were so certain they were going to win, but perhaps they didn't have everything in alignment. Some of them might have been really attached to the outcome of winning that they were completely devastated. We weren't attached to the idea of winning at all. We were more attached to the idea of traveling. We would have thought, cool, if this didn't happen, we're going to go traveling somehow. Now let's make that happen. So that's a lesson, right? Don't give up on your dream even if one possibility shuts down. Could happen some other way. One of the couples actually said later, we can't believe Mark and Denise won. They were the least charismatic of all the couples. And we were so focused on what was important, winning challenges and charming the people who mattered, i.e. the judges, impressing the other candidates, they didn't factor high on our scale of importance. That might make me sound a bit bitter, but it's true. It's one of those things you just got to focus on really what makes the difference. Oh, so lucky bitch. That's how we won the ultimate job and manifested our goal of 6 months travel around the world. And it was an incredible life-changing experience. It was hard work, but it was 100% worth it. As intended, it launched my career as a writer and coach. During that trip, together we visited 12 countries, wrote more than 214 blog posts on the travel blog, which was thehoneymoontesters.com, wrote 7 Irish Times columns, filmed and edited 130 videos, and did more than 100 media interviews, including live TV. All of this in our first year of marriage. It was fun, stressful, and above all, extraordinary. And the judges even took us up on our offer of renewing our vows in every country. So we got married 87 times around the world. But that's definitely a story for another book. But what the trip did was it opened my eyes to a world of luxury and abundance, a glimpse into how rich people live their lives. And it let me experience that ideal day of freedom and adventure. We eventually did exceed the Guinness World Record of 83 weddings, which was the world record at the time. But by the time our application was processed, the current record holders were up to 99 weddings. So yes, I'm officially the second most married woman in the world, and I am happy enough about that. I am going to write about the rest of the trip one day, and I think it would make a fantastic screenplay. It'd be fun. We got married in so many unusual ways, with a Maasai tribe in Kenya, surrounded by sharks and stingrays at the Great Barrier Reef, on lighthouses and in castles in Ireland, in a minus 120 degree cryotherapy room, and many, many more. The ultimate job judges had a great time coming up with weird and wacky ways for us to get married. Trust me, it would be a hilarious movie. If anyone wants to turn it into a movie, contact me. So why did I share so many random details of this story? I have repeated it so many times, I'm actually sick of it. But I wanted to show how the commitment you need towards your dreams and how much commitment you need every single day, how constant application of the law of attraction principles can literally move physical reality and bring any dream to you. So ask yourself, what can I apply from this story? What's possible for me? Look at the biggest goals in your own life and ask yourself, it's what you really want or what you just think can happen. Can you dream bigger? Are you really committed to making it happen no matter what? I know you are. Now, this is an unbelievable story of a dream that was manifested out of thin air. But do you know how many times I heard, oh, you lucky bitch, I'm so jealous. But it's not really about luck, is it? Now you know that the story behind it, look at all of the daily actions I took to win the ultimate job. There was actual measurable work that went into winning it. I didn't just write down travel as a goal one time as a New Year's resolution, and then it just magically came true without any effort. I worked on that goal for 9 months before that competition opportunity showed up, and it took 2 months of daily work to actually win the competition. So almost a year of daily obsession and commitment to a goal. And how many people give up after a week? You know, how many times have you done that? I've done it before. I've given up after a day. But decide now that you'll never ever give up. It takes conscious effort to do those visualizations every day and to take action. But now you can take the practical lessons behind this story to manifest amazing things for your own life. You can make the impossible real. I love this quote from Marilyn Monroe, and she says, "I used to think there must be thousands of girls sitting alone like me, dreaming of becoming a movie star. But I'm not going to worry about them because I'm dreaming the hardest." When you believe that your success is inevitable, all you have to do is walk towards it. Your dream is already seeking you out, so start moving towards it, and Lucky Bitch is going to tell you exactly how. So now you can be one of those that people say to, "You are such a lucky bitch." And you can just smile and say, "I know." And good things are happening to you too.